ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो एंटाइटल्ड द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन चैप्टर नंबर 6 एंटाइटल्ड पुरुष सूक्त कन्फर्म्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। सोमृतस्य भयस्येषो मर्त्यमन्नं यदत्यगात् महिमैष ततो ब्रह्मन् पुरुषस्य दुरत्ययः। सः ही
द लॉर्ड
अमृतस्य
ऑफ
डेथलेसनेस अभयस्य ऑफ फियरलेसनेस ईशः द कंट्रोलर मर्त्यम डाइंग अन्नम फ्रुइटिव एक्शन यत् one who has atyagat has transcended mahima the glories eshah of him tatah therefore brahman o brahmana narada purushasya of the supreme personality duratyayah immeasurable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of immortality and fearlessness, and He is transcendental to death and the fruitive actions of the material world. O Narada, O Brahmana, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person. Translation, please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead
is the controller of immortality,
is the controller of immortality
and fearlessness,
and fearlessness,
and He is transcendental,
and He is transcendental
to death and fruitive actions,
to death and fruitive actions
of the material world,
of the material world.
O Narada,
O Narada,
O Brahmana,
O Brahmana,
it is therefore difficult,
it is therefore difficult
to measure the glories,
to measure the glories
of the Supreme Person,
of the Supreme Person.
Purport. The glories of the Lord in the transcendental 75% of the Lord's internal potency are stated in the Padma Puran, Uttarakhanda. It is said there that those planets in the spiritual sky which comprises the 75% expansion of the internal potency of the Lord are far, far greater than those planets in the total universes composed of the external potency of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the total universes in the external potency of the Lord are compared to a bucket full of mustard seeds. One mustard seed is calculated to be a universe itself. In one of the universes in which we are now living, the number of planets cannot be counted by human energy. And so, how can we think of the sum total of all the universes, which are compared to a bucket full of mustard seeds? And the planets in the spiritual sky are at least three times the number of those in the material sky. Such planets, being spiritual, are in fact transcendental to the material modes. Therefore, they are constituted in the mode of unalloyed goodness only. The conception of spiritual bliss, Brahmananda, is fully present in those planets. Each of them is eternal, indestructible, and free from all kinds of inebrieties experienced in the material world. Each of them is self-illuminating and more powerfully dazzling than, if we can imagine, the total sunshine of millions of mundane suns. The inhabitants of those planets are liberated from birth, death, old age and diseases and have full knowledge of everything. They are all godly and free from all sorts of material hankerings. They have nothing to do there except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is the predominating deity of such Vaikuntha planets. Those liberated souls are engaged incessantly in singing songs mentioned in the Sam Veda. Vedai Sang Pada Kramapanishadair Gayanti Yam Samaga. All of them are personifications of the five Upanishads. Tripad Vibhuti, or the 75% known as the internal potency of the Lord, is to be understood as the kingdom of God, far beyond the material sky. And when we speak of Pad Vibhuti, or the 25% comprising his external energy, we should understand that this refers to the sphere of the material world. It is also said in Padma Puran that the kingdom of Tripad Vibhuti is transcendental, whereas the Pad Vibhuti is mundane. Tripad Vibhuti is eternal, whereas the Pad Vibhuti is transient. The Lord and his eternal servitors in the transcendental kingdom all have eternal forms, which are auspicious, infallible, spiritual, and eternally youthful. In other words, there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. That eternal land is full of transcendental enjoyment and full of beauty and bliss. This very fact is also corroborated in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the transcendental nature is described as Amrita. As described in the Vedas, Utamrita Tvasyeshanah, the Supreme Lord is the Lord of immortality. Or in other words, the Lord is immortal. And because he is the Lord of immortality, he can award immortality to his devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord also assures that whoever may go to his abode of immortality shall never return to this mortal land of threefold miseries. The Lord is not like the mundane Lord. The mundane master or Lord never enjoys equally with his subordinates, nor is a mundane Lord immortal, nor can he award immortality to his subordinate. The Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, can award all the qualities of his personality unto his devotees, including immortality and spiritual bliss. In the material world, there is always anxiety or fearfulness in the hearts of all living entities. But the Lord, being himself the supreme fearless, also awards the same quality of fearlessness to his pure devotees. Mundane existence is itself a kind of fear, because in all mundane bodies, the effects of birth, death, old age, and disease always keep a living being compact in fear. In the mundane world, there is always the influence of time, which changes things from one stage to another, and the living entity, originally being avikar or unchangeable, suffers a great deal on account of changes due to the influence of time. The changing effects of eternal time are conspicuously absent in the immortal kingdom of God, which should therefore be understood to have no influence of time and therefore no fear whatsoever. In the material world, so-called happiness is the result of one's own work. One can become a rich man by dint of one's own hard labor, and there are always fear and doubts as to the duration of such acquired happiness. But in the kingdom of God, no one has to endeavor to attain a standard of happiness. Happiness is the nature of the spirit, as stated in the Vedanta Sutras, Anandamayo Bhyasat. The spirit is by nature full of happiness. Happiness in spiritual nature always increases in volume with a new phase of appreciation. There is no question of decreasing the bliss. Such unalloyed spiritual bliss is nowhere to be found within the orbit of the material universe, including the Janalok planets, or for that matter the Maharlok or Satyalok planets, because even Lord Brahma is subject to the laws of fruitive actions and the law of birth and death. It is therefore stated here, Duratyayaha, or in other words, spiritual happiness in the eternal kingdom of God cannot be imagined even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis who are eligible to be promoted to the planets beyond the region of heaven. Or the greatness of the Supreme Lord is so great that it cannot be imagined even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis, but such happiness is factually attained by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord by His divine grace. So here Brahmaji is continuing his description of universal form, which is created by his desire. So Brahma is the topmost living entity in this universe, and he desires to create. And the Supreme Lord, it is mentioned in Ishopanishad, that he had been fulfilling everyone's desires from time immemorial. So what we desire is very important. So we have to be very conscious of our desires. We cannot take things as they come. We have to consciously desire this, the devotional service of the Lord. And then Lord gives the result according to our desire and practice. So we cannot be desireless, because if we are living entities, we are full of life. So anyone who is conscious, that means he is desiring. So it's an art how to desire the pleasure of Lord. So that's the topmost desire to have, how to please Krishna. So the spirit soul, as described here, is Anandamayo Vyasa. That's the nature of spirit soul, to be in bliss. And the topmost bliss can be experienced in devotional service. Muktir hitvan yatha rupam swarupena vyavasthite. That the real liberation is that when we are established in our eternal constitutional position. If one is merged in Brahman, that is also one sort of liberation, but it's not very blissful. It's called you have Brahmananda, but Brahmananda is compared to a drop in front of the great ocean of devotion. So that's why the real desire is to serve Krishna eternally. And when we serve Krishna, we are fully surrendered. So that's the test. As years go by, if we continue our service, whatever small or big it might be, so that will show that how much surrendered we are. Because as time goes by, we feel that, oh, I'm doing the same service from so long, for many, many months or years. So we might want to change the service or stop the service. But that's the test, that can you continue the service year after year? And that shows that how surrendered we are. So here, Lord is described as controller in the first line. Amritasya abhayasya ishaha. So Amrita means deathlessness, abhaya means fearlessness, and isha means the controller. So Krishna is the controller of deathlessness or immortality, and he is the controller of fearlessness. In one of the Upanishads, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it's mentioned that asato ma satgamaya, that you should aim for the reality. Sat means reality, asat means that which is illusion. So asato ma satgamaya, and tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. So this is mentioned there, that what should we desire for? So we are spirit souls, so we should aspire for reality. In this material world, which is mentioned as pad vibhuti, or 25% of whole creation, here everything is illusory. It's real, but it's temporary. Because it's temporary, that's why it's illusory. In the sense that if you think that this temporary thing is permanent, that's the illusion. It is present right in front of us. The material world is present, but because it's temporary, so we cannot plan to stay here forever. So we must plan to go to reality. Asatoma satgamaya. So in the spiritual world, or tripad vibhuti, that's the reality. So in Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned, nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata, ubhyor api dishto anyas, tatva darshivi. So there it says, one who can see what is the truth, they know the nature of both, sat and asat. So they can help us. So the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, they know what is reality. So they can help us to go from the illusory platform to the real platform by devotional service. So this illusion is compared to darkness. So that's why the next line in that mantra of the Upanishad, it says, tamso ma jyotirgamaya. So don't stay in the darkness. Go in the light, jyoti, or the light. In the light you can see things as they are. When it's dark, you cannot see. So you cannot understand what the goal is. So many people say, they confront devotees with the question that, is bhakti the only way? You know, is Krishna the only goal? So first of all, we must ask them that if you are in darkness, how can you understand what is the way and where is the goal? So that's why we must ask them, to understand that what is the goal, you must be in knowledge. So real knowledge is only available in the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these Upanishads, Puranas. People want freestyle spirituality these days. So they just want to have their own way, and they don't have any knowledge of the goal. So they are in total darkness. So in the darkness, all this sinful activities are performed. Because if there is light, you can see. If you are engaging in a sinful activity, and if there is light, you can see that it's not enjoyment, it's suffering. So that's why all the sinful activities are done in darkness. For last 5 days, some of the devotees went for the catering in a big music festival. So there we could see the darkness. The night before, somehow, we actually try not to go outside our tent from where we are distributing or selling prasadam. We try not to go out where, you know, they are just drinking and they are on drugs and they are dancing or moving, you know. So we try not to go out. But I had to go out with another devotee to give some prasadam to another stall. So, and it was just before, a couple of hours before the midnight on the New Year's Eve. So that was the peak time for their so-called enjoyment. So when we went out, the other devotee, he told that the night before he went out also for some purpose, and he almost stepped on someone because he couldn't see. It was so dark. So they are doing performing these sinful activities of, you know, intoxication, illicit affairs, and it has to be in dark. So it was totally dark with some lights here and there from the stage. So when both of us went out, we saw, and I was praying to Krishna that please save me, and I want to be back as soon as possible. So there we saw one man was standing and he was vomiting, and others were sitting around. So many others might have vomited, and they were just sitting because it was so dark you couldn't see anything. So that's tamas or darkness, real darkness. And another lady who came to our stall to get prasadam, she was elderly lady in her late 50s, and she was working in one of the bars, and she was very sad. Although she was working in the bar, but the younger generation these days have gone one level further in their sinful acts. So she was very sad, and she was telling that, see all these children, you know, when they come to the bar, most of them their hands are shaking because they are taking so much drugs. So, you know, previously they would just take some alcohol in a few decades back, but now they have gone one level further. So in this young age, they are in their 20s and their hands are shaking. So this is what is darkness. So devotees, by their compassion, they try to help them by distributing prasad, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, so that they can come to the light. And it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Srimad Bhagavatam is like the rising sun for this dark age of Kali. So we can get the knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and we can come to light. And Mrityurva Amritam Gamaya. So this is called Martyalok. We are in the Martyalok. So there is birth, death, disease and old age. All these miseries are there. But by the process of bhakti, we can attain Amrita or deathlessness. So that's the real nectar. Amrita means nectar also. It means deathlessness also. So when we perform these devotional activities, we can taste the real nectar. So here it's described that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that the abode of deathlessness is this Tripad Vibhuti, or this three-fourth of the creation, which is called the spiritual world. So there is no birth, death, disease or old age. So our goal should be somehow or other to go to the spiritual world or spiritual consciousness. One can be placed within this material world, but if his body, mind and words are completely engaged in service of Lord, he is considered to be Jivan Mukta or liberated. So we should aspire for that. So this, it's compared, as it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three examples given. That's in the pastime of Vasudev Dutt. So Vasudev Dutt was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And once, out of his great compassion for living entities, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, please grant me one benediction. I want all the sinful reactions of all the living entities within this whole universe. And I would not mind to suffer all those reactions in hell, birth after birth. But please liberate all of them. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he could feel the compassion that Vasudev Dutt had for other living entities. And he became very soft and his body started to tremble and there were tears in his eyes just to see the compassion of Vasudev Dutt. And then he told him that, it's not actually very strange because you are saying all this, because you are actually incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj also in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, he also asked for this benediction to Lord Narasimha Dev, that I don't want to get liberated alone. I care for these fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy here in this temporary world. So this is the example given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Lord told him that, he gave that example of mustard seed. Like if there is a big bucket or a pot of mustard seeds, and if one falls out of that, actually there is no loss. So if all the living entities are liberated from this universe, it doesn't much matter because there are so many other material universes in which there are so many other conditioned living entities. And even if all of them are liberated, still it's not a big deal. Krishna can do anything. So your wish is granted. And other two examples are given, that there's a tree called Udambara tree. It has got many millions of small fruits. So if one fruit falls out of the tree, it's not a great loss. And the third example given there is that, for example, a man, if he has millions of wish-fulfilling cows, Kamadenu, who can not only give milk, but who can fulfill this, any desire you have. If a person has millions of such cows, and if he loses one she-goat, you know, what's a great loss? So same way, it's not a big deal if everyone in this world becomes Krishna conscious and goes back. Still, there are a lot of other living entities who would try to rebel, who would rebel against Krishna's desires, and they would come again and fill this material world again. So we have this minute independence which Krishna has given us, and he never takes that away from a living entity. So we have to desire to voluntarily love Krishna. So that's what is Krishna is looking for. So he's waiting that when will his devotee turn towards him. And then if such a devotee is ready to render service in any situation, then Krishna bestows his mercy. There is no other way to get Krishna's mercy. It is described by actually Lord Brahma himself, who is speaking today's verse also. He says, prasad lesha anugrihita evahi. Even only if one is favored by a small trace of Lord's mercy, then he can, you know, understand everything about Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna's knowledge is very secret. Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam. It's the greatest of all secrets. It's very hard to understand Krishna. Very difficult. But if he bestows his mercy on a person who is always serving him, then one can understand. So we are in darkness, but by mercy of Krishna we can come to light. And Krishna actually lights up the lamp. He says in Bhagavad Gita, by his mercy, his anukampa, tesham evanukampartham aham agyana jam tamaha. So there also tamaha. We are in darkness, but by his mercy he lights the shining lamp of knowledge in our heart. And who is eligible? Tesham satata yuktanam. One who is constantly serving him day after day, you know, without complaining too much. Generally we complain too much, you know. Oh, this is not good, that's not good. Only if this was there, only if this was not there. So we complain too much. Only if I was somewhere else, like that. If you see in a company, those who work, or those who, you know, we know how people work. So in a company, generally people don't complain too much if they want to stay there. You know, so they don't complain, oh, why is this like that, or why is that like that. We just follow the orders very, like a menial servant. Otherwise, you know, there are so many other people who want your job, you know. So that's why we are like menial servants there. So same way, we have to be like a menial servant in this institution, ISKCON. If we just serve day after day without complaining much, then we are become eligible. So there it's mentioned that Krishna is not like mundane masters. So all these mundane masters in these different companies, they cannot award the highest goal. They cannot award liberation. They themselves cannot get liberated if they are not devotees. So that's why it says mundane masters. We are serving these mundane masters with full heart. So why cannot we serve Krishna fully? In Chaitanya Charitamrita it's described that, of course, like when we work somewhere for someone else, that's, they are mundane masters. But we are actually serving our senses. Kamadi naam kati na katida palita durnidesha. So there it says that Rupa Goswami is praying that from so long I have been serving these unwanted orders of my lusty desires. So our lust, anger, greed, envy, all these things are there within us and we are serving those desires. So these are the mundane masters who order us, okay, now you have to be lusty or you should have greed now or be envious of this person. And we are just following their orders. But by devotional service, we can actually get rid of all these mundane masters. So instead, we have just have to turn it around. Instead of serving these mundane masters, we have to serve the Supreme Master, Supreme Controller, Ishvara, Parma, Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. So if we serve Krishna, then we can, that's the real master to serve. So in Krishna book I was reading, it's mentioned the pastime when Krishna gets married to 5 queens. Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka. Out of them, 8 were most prominent. So in one chapter, it's described in 10th canto that how he marries 5 of those, out of those 8. So one of his wives was Satya. She was daughter of King Nagnaji. So she always wanted to marry Krishna. And Krishna came to know about this. So he went to the kingdom. But her father had organized, he had a condition that whoever wants to marry her daughter, marry his daughter, they have to defeat these 7 bulls. They were 7 very mighty bulls, and they, you know, if someone can subdue them, control them, bind them, then they can marry his daughter. So many princes, kings, they came, they couldn't do it. They went with broken limbs, and then Krishna went there, and he was very pleased with the attitude of the princess Satya and her father Nagnaji. So that's very nice. It's mentioned there that Satya and Nagnaji, they offered their prayers to Krishna when he reached there. So Satya said that actually no one can please you because you are self-satisfied. So how can someone please you? It's only by your causeless mercy can you can be pleased by someone. And then King Nagnajit, he said that, you know, how can I please you and how can I serve you? I cannot even serve you because I am an insignificant living entity. So that was their mood. And there it Prabhupada mentions that if someone has this mood that, you know, how can I'm such so insignificant, how can I serve Krishna? Then actually Krishna is pleased by such humble attitude. So that attitude is mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in his Shikshashta. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhavam badau kripya tav pad pankas titaduli sadisham vichintaya. That I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. So please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atom at your lotus feet. So that's the mood of a devotee, real devotee, pure devotee. That he thinks that he's like a tiny atom. You know, so how can a tiny atom become proud? So that's the mood. So Krishna was very happy. And then he reciprocated with the princess and the king. So then he subdued those 7 bulls. He expanded actually into 7 Krishnas. And he very easily, as if they were toys, he just bound them and subdued them. And there he showed to the princess that see, actually, I can reciprocate. Because he expanded into 7, he wanted to show to her that don't feel that I cannot reciprocate with you because I have other wives. So don't think that if I am with one wife, you know, other wives will be in separation. I can be with everyone. So same with us, you know. Krishna's mercy can be with all of us. So that these pastimes actually reveal all these things. So in today's verse, we see the last line. It says, purushasya duratyaya, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of Supreme Person. So because he remains hidden. So if we constantly hear about pastimes of Krishna, then things would be revealed to us. That how actually Krishna, I can also get mercy of Krishna. And then we can go another step forward, and then Krishna comes 10 steps forward, then we take another, and you know, so that's the reciprocation, and it goes on and on. In purport also it was mentioned, it just, you get a new appreciation of Krishna at each step, each day when you attend, you take darshan, you attend Guru Puja, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you read Srila Prabhupada's book, so each day you can have new appreciation for Krishna, and then Krishna comes, he takes more steps towards you. So finally, another nice verse that I read about what should we desire, as we were talking about desires, that because we are alive, we must have desires. So we don't have to get rid of desires, we just have to purify our desires. When Krishna went to Mathura, there was a florist, his name was Sudama. So when Krishna went to his house, he presented Krishna and Lord Balram with garlands. And then they were so pleased with his service attitude, they said, okay, ask any benediction, whatever you like. So that's why we all have some desires. So, and we, when we come in front of deities, we ask for these benedictions. So there it's mentioned, what should be the real desire? So what did Sudama, this florist, what did he ask? He asked for three things. And these three things are actually mentioned three times in Srimad Bhagavatam. One in 10th canto by this florist Sudama, and one time by in 12th canto by Markandeya Rishi, and one time by Parikshit Maharaj in one of the earlier cantos. I still have to find those verses. This one in 10th canto I found. So here, the benediction asked by Sudama are as follows. These are three benedictions he asks. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim tasmin eva khilatmani tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam bhuteshu cha dayam param. So what are the three things he asks? That we should also have these three desires. That let me have unshakable devotion for Krishna. So that's one thing we can ask unhesitatingly to Krishna, that I want devotion, your devotional service, and I always want to serve you. So we can ask for this. And then secondly he asked, I want friendship with the devotees. So if we just ask to have devotion for Krishna, and you are there, I am there, no one else, so that's like Kanishtha platform. You know only Lord and yourself. So that's not the only thing we should desire. The second thing is friendship with the devotees. So we have to respect all the devotees and serve the devotees. Vaishnav Seva. And the third thing he asked, so we can have devotion for Lord, we can have friendship with devotees, chant, dance, have prasad, sleep, but that's also not enough. So the next step is transcendental compassion for living entities. So then when we have all this, we have devotees, we have Lord, then we tell others about this devotion, and we bring them by preaching, by prasad distribution, book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan. So these are the three things, three desires we should have. And that makes a complete devotee. So we must ask Lord for these three things. And then if we have this attitude, Lord will reveal himself to us. So just to conclude, so here in this verse we saw that how Krishna is the Lord of immortality and fearlessness. And only by this humble attitude of service, the service attitude, that Krishna will reveal everything to us. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discuss. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much. Very bad thing for the health point of view. It involves the kidney. from the ICU, Gloucester Hospital, for the last 21 days with endotracheal tube, catheters, all intravenous fluid, everything, and ultimately he had to die because of kidney failure. Now, intoxicants, even aspirin, can cause damage to the kidney. So very important. If the toxins are not getting rid of, or my kidney, if the kidneys are not functioning, the whole body fails. So primary failure is kidney failure, then lung failure. He had pneumonia. And because of pneumonia, he got the fibrosis in the lungs. So he couldn't breathe. So he had to put on the ventilator. And then ultimately, heart gave up. So, intoxication, as you mentioned, the young ones, firstly they were on alcohol, and now they are taking the drugs. So they are very, very damaging. So we have to teach to all our friends that how much this is in Krishna consciousness, not in alcohol, LSD, and all those things. Prabhupada mentioned in a few lectures. Everybody was on LSD. Prabhupada said, we all can be much higher than LSD. So LSD can be only a little bit of bliss, but you'll be in Krishna consciousness, you'll have bliss forever. Forever.
He said, stay high forever, you know. You take LSD, you have to come. Yeah, you have to come down. But if you take this intoxication of bhakti, then you don't have to come down, you stay there. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu was saying when initially new people come, they have so many material desires, and as devotees also sometimes we have all the list, you know, shopping list we present in front of Krishna. So how can we draw a line that, you know, what desires we should have which are correct? So yes, in the beginning stages, if a new person comes, he has material desires, and we encourage them, okay, whatever desires you have, just come to Krishna, at least you come to Krishna. And in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says that Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, four types of persons come to me. Some desire wealth, some want their distress to go away. So that's okay. At least they are approaching Krishna. Krishna says all are Mahatmas. So that's good. So we encourage, okay, you have this problem. Krishna can actually solve this problem. So you pray to Krishna. But then as we advance in our bhakti, we have to purify those desires. Ultimately to the point that we only desire Krishna's pleasure. So we have to purify. So we understand, we read this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, that how he desired a big kingdom, but when he saw Krishna, he was, you know, purified, and he didn't want anything else. So same way, initially we have those desires, but by practicing bhakti, by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, we can actually catch a pure devotee's desire. So when we hear from someone's person, some other advanced devotee, we are actually catching their desires. So this is how bhakti rutpadyate yatha, that when you hear from someone, the real desires for serving Krishna, they sprout up in the heart. So we continue hearing, and then develop the knowledge by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and we can understand what to desire for. So we have to purify desires. We can't stay on the neophyte platform. Anything else? Last question or comment?
Yes, the other thing is Dulatya, this word is very important. In this verse, Prabhupada mentioned Dulatya, we can purify Krishna enormous amount. Still, yeah. We will not be complete.
Yeah.
So that Dulatya, and Devi Asha Bhumi Mamaya Dulatya.
Yeah.
Lord Vishnu in Bhagavad Gita also said about Dulatya. So very, very important. And third point I noted was in the Bhagavatam, 268, it mentioned about the sex pleasure, you know, that our all the organs are, you know, genital organs are covered with this membrane. That gives us pleasure. So that verse 268 and 218, very, very important verse. And very powerful purport Prabhupada has given. So we have to read this verse again and again.
Yeah, we were hoping that Narayani Mataji would give class today and explain nicely, but never mind. All right, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.